9 months ago, my last message to you was about the straitjacket of poverty. Well, since that time, we've had a chance to really live the message. And the Lord has told us that this experience, in part, is to help us be able to share with you how we handle continually narrowing budget, how we live through that in joy and in strength. Citing the scripture that Paul gave us, I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:12-13. So I want to share with you some of the things that we went through as we lived in this fashion. We went from a barely sufficient income that was cut by 2/3. So we were living on 1/3 of the resource, three people, a homeless elderly woman that lives with us, and my husband and myself. And we lived on 1/3 of that income, and we still are living on 1/3 of that income with a few increases. We've had more donors come alongside us. So I want to share with you the things that we went through and how the Lord resolved these things in our heart. For one, I mean, he was reading our mail. He was right there. When things would come up that we needed, he would supply for them. When things came up that we needed and he didn't supply, he gave us the grace to suffer graciously, not to complain. I can't tell you that I didn't complain, because that would be a lie. But he gave us the grace to get through it and to be thankful for what we did have and what we do have. To be thankful what he's given us, not, and to be thankful for what was allowed to be taken away, because it opened the door to a new lifestyle, in a sense, where our total dependence was on him. Now, mind you, we've been living this way for 30 years as missionaries, and we've never used government help or anything like that. We've always totally relied on the Lord for housing, for heat, for water and electricity and everything. But we had gotten fairly stable and comfortable in that period of time when we had a full 3/3 of an income to work with. And he keeps telling me that he's going to continue to humble America and humble our society in the direction of money, and money continuing to dwindle, and possessions continuing going to be the ability to go out and buy things. This isn't a very popular message, I know. But then he didn't call me to be popular, just to be honest and truthful. And that's basically what's coming for the United States, is a cut in the economy, a continuing downward cycle of the economy. And, you know, it's really easy to lose your perspective in that situation. We tend to get very comfortable with things that are not absolutely necessary. And when those are taken away from us, we can do a lot of kicking and screaming. And I have a few little goodies that that I had to give up at different times. And it made it hard for me. But we were still able to meet our basic needs. And it was very difficult having to call the electric company and negotiate with the lovely lady at the electric company, who was very sweet. I mean, in all honesty, she was just as sweet as she could be. While we were way far behind, I have no idea what her superiors thought when they saw how far behind we were. But the point is that it's very humbling to have to negotiate with the utility company to keep your utilities on. And humbling is good. Humility is wonderful. And it's definitely a necessity. It's definitely an agenda of the Lord's to prepare His bride for His coming. Because in all honesty, we're not ready. And the rapture's at the door. I mean, it could happen at any moment. Just a note on why we believe in the rapture. We've got some Catholic background. They didn't believe in the rapture. We've got evangelical background, spirit-filled background, all kinds of, different backgrounds of places where we've shared ministry and in the early days then taught when we were first Christians. But upon doing some research, we found out that the first apostles believed in a pre-tribulation rapture, and that was considered a sign of authenticity in the community. So if you believed in a pre-tribulation rapture, then you were considered okay as a Christian to be in that community, which tended to be at that time rather guarded because of the scribes and Pharisees constantly finding ways to discover who the Christians were and to destroy them. So that was considered a sign and a mark of authenticity as a Christian. And a lot of that changed with Augustine in 300 AD over political issues. I mean, it wasn't convenient anymore to believe in that. So another scenario had to be invented to fulfill the requirements of Revelation. And I'm sorry to say that's where it's been. But the Lord, through dreams and visions and the scriptures and some good teachers, has revealed again and again and again, He is coming for His bride. And in prayer, He's revealed again and again and again, His bride is not ready. So the tightening of the belt in this country and in the Christian communities is a deliberate thing He is allowing to shift the focus off of the busy work and the things of the world onto what is truly important, our relationship with the Lord. So we learn to live with an abundance and we learn to live with a lack. Sometimes we didn't have the necessities like medication. And we learn to be patient in trials, to be patient, to lay down with it and to continue on in the things He's given us to do. And the beautiful part is we've always had what we needed to continue in our ministry. Always had that. So we may not have had the frills, we may not have had what we needed for an illness, but we still had the means by which to work with our ministry, to add YouTubes and to work on music and that kind of thing. Now, I have resolved in my heart and mind from the beginning that if the Lord chose to discontinue the electricity for any length of time, we do have a generator, but I had decided in my heart, and both my husband and I had decided, if He chooses candlelight, then we'll be in prayer a great deal of the time. Perhaps we won't be writing music. Perhaps we won't be using our electronic means of communication, but we'll be in prayer and fasting. And that's what's important. We have what we need for the day, for the tasks that He's given us to do. So far, He's kept our electricity on, praise be to God. So we haven't had to deal with that issue. So the most important thing that I want to talk to you about in this teaching is Philippians 4:12, is knowing how to get along with humble means and how to live in prosperity, how to live in every circumstance, and the secret of being happy, fulfilled, and in the Lord that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. When it seems like we just can't take any more, one disaster after another. As I said, this message may not be popular, but nonetheless, some of you are dealing with these issues right now. To some of you, this is a real situation in your life. And the Lord loves you. He's allowing this for deliberate reasons. He's not doing this to hurt you or to punish you. He's doing it to form you into his spotless bride. So the sooner we get a hold of what he's trying to do and cooperate with it, the easier the process will be. As I mentioned, he's been telling us that we're not ready as a church to be his bride. And I'm going to be doing a series on the Bride of Christ, Who Is She? That's going to be next. Because he is very particular. Like any man looking for a wife, he's looking for certain qualities. And the main qualification is that she resembles him. And I have to say, the church does not resemble the Lord Jesus. Not in any way, shape, or form. Except for perhaps the missionaries who are out in the field working and living and suffering and being martyred. But more and more in this country, we're going to be given the opportunity to prove that our love for the Lord is greater than our love for ourselves. And when I say that, I mean the love for our life, for our comforts, for popularity, for friends and for nice things, or for things in general. Some of us are going to have to go without those things. But it's okay, because there's a reason for it. He has a plan. And if you get a hold of the plan and you understand that it's because he loves you and he loves us and because he doesn't want to leave anyone behind in the rapture, not one person does he want to leave behind. There's a mighty work to do to bring the church around to the position where she's really ready to be his spouse. There's a mighty work to do. And I believe he's going to allow some great intervention. Even as we speak, things that are going on now in the world and in our country. There are things being instituted in our government, for instance, that people don't know about, that are going to result down the road in some serious problems with our economy. And if our heart and mind is riveted on prosperity and our economy and the economy and what we can have, the latest iPhone, the latest iPad, the latest upgrades, if, you know, the latest programs, I get tempted. I mean, I really do get tempted in those areas, but they're out of the question for us right now. But if we have our eyes on those things and keeping up with the Joneses in as far as who has the latest phone and latest apps and the latest whatever on the phone, you know, I mean, that's well, the Lord called it iPhone madness, or cell phone madness, that's how he put it, cell phone madness. We're going to be having to let go of some of these freedoms or these excesses and to, you know, slim things down very, very much, very far down. And as we do that, We tend to lose a sense of importance. It tends to affect our self-esteem. Now, this is really major and key, because the enemy will use losses in our life, financial losses and cutbacks, to condemn us. See, God isn't providing for you. He doesn't love you. You're not worthy of him. You're supposed to be a prosperous Christian. What's the matter with you? Why are you having problems like this? You're bad. He'll use every means that he can to condemn you. Every twisted thought and every twisted word to take what God meant for your good and turn it around so that it looks like he's punishing you or he's taking things away from you because he doesn't love you, because you're not worthy. Why are you wasting your time being a Christian? If you were a Satanist, I'd supply you with everything you want. That's the kind of thing that Satan pummels people with. I've even had a Satanist say that to me. And I don't think you liked my answer, but that's all right. We got through it. So getting back to what's important here, our importance, our self-esteem is not based on what we own, what we wear, what we drive, where we live. It's based on Jesus Christ giving his life on the cross. That is how you can weigh your life, and the worth of yourself, of your soul, can be weighed in the balance with the crucifixion of Christ on the other side. You mean that much to him. He is so, you are so precious to him that he was willing to die an excruciating death to have you in heaven with him for eternity. So that's your worth. That's your net worth. If you want to talk about net worth, it's not in what you drive or what you own, where you live. It's in the blood of Christ shed on the cross for you, the blood of God's Son. Now, that's the perspective that we all need to hold on to as changes come in our life. Our worth has nothing to do with the economy or what we have, what we own. It has in the past, and this is one of the reasons why he's allowing those things to be taken away from us. But in the future, as Christians come closer and closer to the point where they're going to have to make a decision, am I going to fall into the world economy? Am I going to deny Christ in order to be a part of the world economy? Or am I going to hold on to my relationship with God and continue to confess him and live without all the things that other people are getting, even medical care? And I believe that the Lord is going to provide tremendous healings during that time for people who can't go to the doctor because they don't have the mark. Tremendous healings by faith. But the point is, do we love our lives more than we love him? And, you know, he's very kind and gentle with us. He's not dropping this on us overnight. He's allowing this to take place slowly so that we find ourselves dealing with more things every day. More businesses closing, more schools closing, like preschools and that kind of thing. We're seeing that all around us, but it's happening very slowly. Of course, when those things are cut back, then the donations that go to the missionaries or donations that go to the ministers in the town are also cut back. So the whole church suffers because we live basically, in most people's eyes, off of the fat of the economy, in the sense that we do our job full-time and other people help to support us. So we're all going to go through a time of straightening and circumcision where the things that are really frivolous and not important to us are going to be taken away. And the sooner we realize how great the Lord's love is for us and that he's allowing this because we're not ready to be raptured. We're not yet able to be his bride. When you realize that, you can cooperate with it so much more easily. And when you realize that your self-worth is not tied up in the latest Android or the latest iPhone or whatever, when you realize that it's tied up in the blood of Christ on the cross, then you can let go of those things and it won't damage you. It won't damage your self-image because your self-image is in Christ, not in what you own. So it's been 9 months since my last taping, and I had said that I was going to work on music first, and I did. I finished a song, and I hope you get a chance to listen to it. It's called Left Behind in Nuclear War, and it's a composite of dreams that I've had about Miami being hit, and things that the Lord has told me in prayer kind of blended together in a song. And the song is very dramatic. It has a lot, it has sound effects, and there's a section towards the end where a woman is in the park with other mothers, and she's got her little one-year-old with her, and all of a sudden her child is gone out of her arms. It's very heartrending. But the Lord asked me to write this song to give encouragement to those who are left behind, so that they would know that they are still loved. In fact, they're loved even more. And that everything that happens to them, God is aware of it, and He loves them. And He's working to bring them to heaven. And, you know, those who were left behind, some of those are going to be the most fiery and incredible Christians that ever walked the face of the earth because of their mistake, because of their error. And they're going to be totally in love with the Lord to the point where they just don't care whether they're martyred or not. In fact, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There are going to be many souls like that. So He is preparing a mighty, mighty, mighty army for the future when the rapture occurs. And if we are left behind for some reason, it will be to the glory of God if we cooperate with the graces. And I say we left behind because I have to examine my life every single day and see if I've grieved the Holy Spirit, I've grieved the Lord. Am I doing something that is not pleasing to Him? Now, I'm not saying that you have to be perfect to be raptured, because that's impossible. That can't be done. But I believe that you have to desire to be perfect, desire to be free of sin. And the Lord is working on us. We're not there yet. We have not arrived. He's still working on us. But I believe we need to have a heart for the Lord and a heart for His life and what He wants. And if we're bent in any other direction, in self-will, doing our own thing, and ignoring Him, then we're very likely to be left behind. In fact, it's almost assured that you're going to be left behind. If you're in the flesh and you're doing your own thing and the Lord's tapped you on the shoulder time and time again, pay attention, the time is close. And I myself have gone through this where I was not paying attention. And He kept telling me, pay attention, the time is close. And finally, He gave me the scripture about the wise and the foolish virgins. And that turned my head around 180 degrees. I saw how self-will had control of my life. And from that point on, I cooperated with Him to turn around. And so that's what I'm saying. If your heart is bent on serving Him and pleasing Him, and you're not perfect, in fact, if you still got a lot of mistakes, a lot of things that need to be worked on, that's not an issue. He already sees you as perfect. And I believe in my heart, and according to Scripture, that you're going to be raptured if you're in that place. But if you've been ignoring the admonitions of the Holy Spirit, the readings that you get, the teachings that you hear, and just going your own way, then there's very good reason to fear that you will be left behind. So, in conclusion, with this message, I'd like to say the most important thing is to cooperate with grace and to understand that if things in your economy are narrowing down, the Lord is allowing this deliberately to get you ready as His bride, to detach you from the world and the things of the world, to have your heart and mind wrapped around Him, not about business deals or knew this or knew that, but about Him and His agenda. So I'm going to move on with the next message, and I'm starting, as I said before, a series on Who is the Bride of Christ. And I heartily encourage you to follow that, because it's about repentance. And I have a message from the Lord that I will be reading in another message about what he's expecting from his bride. Until then, God bless you, and thanks so much for tuning in, and the grace of the Lord be with you and help you to overcome every obstacle in your life. God bless you.